This is the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on www.prn.fm. This radio presentation replays my weekly TV show, Refounding America with Peter R. Breggin, MD, which can be watched on Brighteon.tv, and it's available on Roku. I interview guests who are heroes and pioneers in confronting the global predators who are behind COVID-19 lockdowns and vaccines, corrupt public health and medicine, global warming, the Great Reset, and other justifications for destroying the Western democracies. They are stealing our countries, our freedoms, our dignity and hope, and our jobs and our savings. For documentation of this worldwide tragedy, read our new book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, by Peter and Ginger Breggin. Together, my guests and I explore what is happening and what we each can do to refound America and inspire the world. Thank you for your courage in facing these challenges and standing up for liberty. Hello, hello, my wonderful audience. It's Peter Breggin again. I'm so glad to be with you. It's a few days before Christmas. And when we get started on the show more fully, I want to really address how do we survive and even grow and triumph spiritually at these really at times dreadful moments in the history of America and in our lives. But we'll also talk with Paul Alexander, Dr. Alexander, one of the great, great experts on COVID-19 and the scientific issues surrounding it during this hour. But first, we're going to start talking about together, what do we do to keep our spirits up, keep love alive, stay responsible, stay on top of things. Well, hello, hello, my wonderful audience. Again, to repeat myself, I've had a little technological confusion here, so I'm a little bedazzled. We're looking at, I hope, Paul Alexander. I can see the wonderful man as clear as day. This is a scientist. He's got his PhD in, science-based medicine and in science in general. He's like a scientist, and he was at the World Health Organization. And in addition to being at the World Health Organization, he then was asked in a most remarkable fashion to become a consultant to President Trump's coronavirus White House task force. All of it in the midst of so much turmoil, which has in fact made him an expert on turmoil at the White House. We'll get into some of that. Paul, it's great to see you. I love you. To disclose self-interest, I just think this man is a dear friend. I wish I could see him all the time. How are you?
Thanks, Dr. Breggin. Thanks for having me here, and thanks for that wonderful open. And I'm okay. You know, like yourself, daily we're battling this COVID nightmare that we still seem to be in. My argument to me is that COVID has been over a while now and it's done. It's gone. Yeah.
Yes.
And this Omicron is basically, if we use Mueller's ratchet phenomenon to explain that the virus is mutating milder and milder, and if there's even one more mutation, substantial mutation, it will probably be gone complete. I think that that the news media, the government, the CDC, the NIH, Fauci, and these people are trying to use a kind of a fear porn and irrationality and driving the people to vaccinate, particularly to vaccinate your children, where there is no basis for it. None in children. So there's a big problem here where there's about 40% of the American population is I wouldn't even say hesitant. They're very informed, and they want to balance things out and take their well-being into account. They are seeing the harms from the vaccine. I mean, these vaccines are unlike others before. Some people call them just injections or inoculations or gene therapy, but whatever they are, we have devastating deaths and adverse effects. So people are very concerned and they're reticent and quite rightly. And I would argue with anyone that if you as a person today who have taken the shot, you go on to do booster. If you have not taken the shot and you go on to get the shot, or if you try to give your child a shot, I would say you're almost quasi insane. That would be probably the most illogical thing you can do, because the data is clear that the vaccine does not hit the Delta or the Omicron. I wrote this paper on my website, drpaulalexander.com, and it's there where I show, I collected the 37 studies to show that the vaccine does not work. I mean, I don't know how to say it, Dr. Bregan, other than this to whoever's listening. These vaccines have failed. They do not work against the Delta, against the Omicron. And if people can just step back and switch off the television, switch off the Fauci and the Francis Collins and the Walensky, switch them off and think about a simple thing I'm saying. If the second shot failed and they're telling you you need a third shot, yet they're even admitting that the third shot is composed of exactly the same thing that the second shot was, how do you expect the booster to work, or even in Israel, the fourth booster to work? It just cannot. You are just going to get a dramatic spike in your antibodies, and then they will wane off again. So they are putting you on a regimen of boosting every 3 to 4 months. And we do not know the implications of that to your immune system and to you physiologically. We could have a horrendous situation shortly. And I know, Dr. Bregan, you're an expert as a clinician too. You could speak more on this also.
Yes, very much so. So let me start with the good news about this, because it is Christmas, the new year is coming, and out of this we have some very, very good news. If in fact this new bug, the Omicron, if this new bug does spread throughout the world, as it seems to, and every American who's not immune to it catches it, it's all over. Everybody's going to be fine. This is not killing people. It isn't going to hurt your children at all. It's not going to make them sick. And it is going to very likely provide complete immunity to a whole range of coronaviruses, while the injections are a terrible failure. So there's very good news here. Despite Fauci and all the evildoers, Bill Gates, all the people that Ginger and I talk about in our book, despite all those folks, the way is clear in front of us. The book, let me mention, is COVID-19, The Global Predators. We've sold 60,000 copies now, 25,000 from our website, 30,000 in that range, and the same amount on Amazon around the world. And in the United States, you can go to our dedicated website, which is www.wearethepray.com. And on that, you can purchase at the largest cut rate you'll find the book, if you're in the United States. Elsewhere, you can go on to any of the big internet bookstores and you can buy it. It's still at a reduced rate. And most exciting, we decided to make it available to anybody, regardless of income, pretty much. We have put the ebook up on the internet bookstores for $2.99. So that's a 650-page book, the deepest dive into the whole issue of what's going on with COVID-19. You can get it for that cost. So we're really trying to make it available. Now, so the good news is that we don't have to be afraid of the virus. at all. And it's either going to die out or wither away, but it is not going to be a major threat. But the difficult news is that there's an array of wretched predators, some of whose names we've mentioned already, who are out to destroy the Western democracies. And I document, Ginger and I document beyond a doubt in COVID-19 and the global predators, that people like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab are working very directly with the UN and the World Health Organization, which is part of the UN. And this I didn't want to believe, folks, but it's all hooked ultimately to the Chinese communists. They actually want to empower the Chinese Communist Party rather than America. And that's why they had to release the virus, I believe, quicker than they wanted, sooner than they wanted, to stop Trump. And unfortunately, they did stop Trump. And even doubly unfortunately, Trump took the wrong direction and absorbed a lot of their opinions. So we need, as individuals now, facing Christmas and New Year, we need as individuals to say, we and our friends and family, we're larger than the government. This is how our founders thought. They didn't shake in front of the almighty government. They believed in the almighty God. They believed in their individualism. They believed in their values. And we've got to get back to this. The government is not the source of our values, and it should never be a threat to us as it's become. That's communism. That's totalitarianism or fascism. And we've got a weird mix of it right now that I discuss in the book. But we really have to become larger in our own lives. And we get together at Christmas and New Year with loved ones. In some countries, they're saying, hey, you're not allowed to even do that. And that may come here too. But get together with your friends and your loved ones and celebrate life, celebrate love. If you believe in God, celebrate God in whatever way you celebrate someone, something, a force greater than yourself, a force about love. Because we have to get together around these fundamental American principles, continue to make them universal principles, and strengthen ourselves. Now's the time, folks. It's a great time to be alive. This show is called Refounding America. And I mean it, and we are the refounders, and we need to reclaim our rights as refounders of America. And Paul, what about you? How are you doing with all of this right now?
That's my issue. I agree with everything you just said. And look, the thing I like about you, Dr. Bergen, is you allow people to be honest. We are scientists, and we are focusing on the data. And we are focusing on the science, and it's Christmas. We want to spend some time with loved ones, but many of us can't see our families because of borders, lockdown, crazy restrictions with the vaccines, who's vaccinated, who's not. We have many of us lost loved ones, parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters during the year, and we couldn't even bury our dead. It's a very painful thing what these governments have done. And I'm going to be, look, me and you have been talking, and with Ginger, actually, I have to say again, I think Ginger is one of the most remarkably smartest people I know, especially in what she shares. I mean, it makes me understand that somebody does not have to be a clinician to understand and to wrap their heads around the science on the issues. And I want to share how I feel today. You know, I worked in the Trump administration in Health and Human Services. That was my posting. And the reality about it is that I supported President Trump 100%. That's why I took the position when asked. And I went through a lot of pain in DC dealing with the media and the left and the deep state. And however, whatever you want to say, they tried everything to frustrate me. They didn't sign up my paperwork. They refused to pay me. Public never knew that I was paid largely. I was unpaid. And it was the Department of Defense. I don't know who got them to do it in the last month or so, extended me a month's salary for the first time. Before that, and when I asked the human resources, can you pay me for all of the back time? They basically laughed at me and said, no, there's no back pay. So I worked for free. But I did that for President Trump and I did that for America. But I'm going to say something here, and I hope you don't get upset with me and some of the viewers, because we have to face the facts. President Trump was misled by that task force, by Fauci and Burks. It was their lockdowns. It was Fauci and Burks' lockdowns that harmed America. President Trump was guided by them and informed by them, and he made the decisions as the chief operating officer. That was his role as president. But they gave him bad information and he acted accordingly. Now, he's not a scientist, so I don't hold him from that point of view. But I believe today, Dr. Berger, and I can say it this way, I think he made a terrible, terrible blunder by allowing them to make those kinds of decisions and him going along with them. He should have fired them day one. And I'll have to say it this way, the more I look at it now, Dr. Berger, with all of the people who loved and supported him, I know there's something that went wrong. You can see it. I followed the election. I knew what the campaign was doing because I happened to be there. The campaign had ramped up to its peak while I was there. So I couldn't but overhear, and I could see what was going on. And I could see the strides President Trump was making. I know something wonky was done in that election at the end there, because I don't know who did what, and I hope one day I could get to learn, like all of us, because I wasn't involved. But I think they fiddled around with the election. They did something wrong.
Yes.
I do feel so. But I also want to say something, Bregan, that we have to face. President Trump lost some support too, and we have to admit it. He lost some support coming down to the end in the people who loved and supported him because of the lockdowns, because of the decisions he made with Fauci in the end, allowing them to take hold and handle it, and because of the vaccines. I know, and we have to admit it, so that people who come in the future do not make this mistake again. President Trump should have fired these people, all of them. All of them were subverting him and undercutting him, and they hurt him. I have no ill against him. It is those around him. It is not only them. There are other people in the White House. These people are just hang-on peoples who just want favors and they want to benefit from it. This guy was trying to do what he could for America and for the people. And I applaud him for that. But I think he made a blunder, and probably he trusted and he hoped that those scientists at CDC and the FDA and the NIH were aboard and good people. I'm not saying that they're nefarious people, but they weren't acting on the best interests of the United States. Trump was. He paid the price because he allowed them to take control of that pandemic. Listen, I'm going to share something I didn't say before. I wrote several times, I had high-level meetings with people, and I told them, I said, listen, you need to get me to President Trump. Because people think that because we were working in the administration, we would be sitting with President Trump. You don't get to see the president like that. You have to request to the White House if your office is not there. My office was not there. And then you have to go through a vetting process and a security check before you can. Now, I've been to the White House 3 times. The truth of the matter is, several times me and my leadership, we'd call into the White House to speak and say, we need to see President Trump immediately. There's information we need to discuss at the highest levels. We would get blocked, pushed back, sidelined. And the reality about it is, he was not served by the right people. The wrong people were. And you know, you're running a massive country, so you can't blame him. You're trying to do the best that you can. But the reality about it is, these people subverted his best efforts. And he tried to do the best. But how could you really, if you trust people, how could it really work out to the best if they all have their own special interests and they're not serving you optimally? They didn't serve the American people. Fauci never served the American people. And Fauci and they hurt President Trump and they hurt America. And today they are hurting America, again with this Omicron irrationality and illogical stance that they have. They want to lock America down again. They want to vaccinate our children when they know Fauci and Burks and Francis Collins, they know. Bola from Pfizer, Bancel from Moderna. These people know that children bring near zero statistical risk to the table. Children are not candidates for these vaccines. Yet they want to pump children with these vaccines and put them on a booster program. This could be a catastrophic failure. And I'm saying it on your show, like I said it on Stupiders, like I said it on all the shows that I go on. I said it on Epoch News. We may well kill thousands of American children because these vaccines have shown themselves to be unsafe. COVID has spared our children. We do not touch them with these vaccines now. Leave them alone. We could end up killing a huge lot of our children needlessly and pain parents. So that's what I wanted to say.
Well, you know, I totally agree with every single thing you've said. I would expand it some as we do in our book. For example, we learned that a number of people had communicated to Trump the seriousness of not allowing the treatment of COVID-19 with hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and all the other assorted nutraceuticals, which had like a 75% reduction in death, 85% reduction in hospitalization. Ron Johnson, the senator, tried to talk with him. We know at least one of his people very close to him tried to talk to him. So something happened in regard to Trump in choosing sides. And I think that the only way to explain it is the size of the evil. Trump was not only contending with all the people we have described, but before he was even in office, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, everybody in the security industry was united in wanting to destroy him. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wasn't was either shut up or afraid to speak. So he had the deepest bureaucracies, add the State Department to that, all of whom were going to undermine him. And then eventually he had the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff undermining him so much that he actually called his counterpart in China and said, if we get ready to attack you, if Trump does something, you know, outrageous, I'll let you know. And we're together on this. So he had a conspiracy reaching through the military all the way to China against him. I believe that as a fellow who is a fairly ordinary kind of American, I really think he's like a solid American, more like a Midwesterner than the New Yorker that he is in many ways. I think he didn't conceive of the size of the evil that was hitting him in all directions. When Fauci came to him and said, we have this amazing new operation that is just going to be terrific, Operation Warp Speed. We're going to fund it through our own government. We're going to pay their expenses of Moderna and pay the expenses of Pfizer. He had no idea that had been planned 10 years earlier, that Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and Fauci. Fauci was there 10 years earlier working with Bill Gates. People don't realize this. They were buds way back. Fauci was on his, essentially his very small vaccine committee, that they were building all the things that would happen in COVID-19. And when they said we're working with Pfizer with DNA and RNA vaccines, this is documented in the book, we're working with Moderna on these things, we have even additional documentation now, they were predicting the outcome, and it was the outcome. Out of all the dozens of possible drugs and vaccines, maybe hundreds, Pfizer and Moderna were the ones the government put forward. So this was all a plan, an evil plan. And I can really understand how no one could grasp this. Up to now, I mean, there's no other book about it other than ours, although a number of people on the right were even talking about these things before I ever thought they were possible. and saying, look, there's this globalist threat against us. Ginger and I, we caught on when we started looking at COVID. Okay. Welcome back. I got so excited listening to Paul and then talking with Paul Alexander, PhD, this brilliant, soulful, caring, amazing human being, that I think I ran out of time in the last 22 minutes. And now with the start of the new 22 minutes, I'm going to skip all the prepared stuff I had. It's about some recent events. They're interesting. They're exciting. And so on. The segment I call the David and Goliath moments. But this is such a David and Goliath moment in itself that I'm going to just go right back to Paul Alexander and pick up with where we were talking about. I wanted to be sure, Paul, that we really deal with people standing up under all this pressure, because the evil is so large, it gets intimidating. And at times when I was working on the book, I would feel like I was up against, and I'm not this kind of a religious thinker, against evil or the devil. I would start to feel like my mind was clamping down, like it wasn't possible that all this stuff I was finding was true. I would find something like Bill Gates' master plan, literally, and it's in the book, and I would think, well, why haven't other people found this? Ginger would find an amazing article that showed the development of the coronavirus that led us to know that it was being developed by the U.S. and by China together for years ahead of time. And I'd say, why aren't other people? And I'd get this sense of the closing down on us. And I know Peter McCullough, we've talked about that. He had some of those feelings in the beginning. And have you had to deal with that, and how do you overcome it? I mean, I try to, well, have you had any feelings like that? It's like we're just dealing with something that is soul killing if we let it and don't let it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to deal with this every day now in your life, because a lot of this, Dr. Brigham, doesn't make sense. And sometimes you almost get to the point where you're thinking, you know, is this so unreal? And sometimes you have to ask yourself if you are the same person, like maybe they're right and you are wrong. And you know, you're faced with that situation where you're saying, so is the way I'm thinking the correct, optimal way? Because it seems there's so many on that side who think opposite. But then you begin to realize that they are just actually a small vocal minority. They're given the airtime and the airplay. So it looks like they're the majority, but they're not. The problem is, Dr. Brigham, that most of the people around you lack the courage and the bravery that you have. It's that simple. So you are standing out. They would like to be you. They want to be you, and they want to be able to speak like you. But that little extra thing, they prefer to stay in the background and be silent to protect their income, their jobs, etc. And in a certain way, you can understand that. But this battle is transformational, and this is about humanity itself. This is not about you buying a pair of shoes and you don't like it and you're going to take it back to the store to change it. These decisions and policies and what we've lived in the last 2 years going to affect us for 1,000 years to come. And yes, if we don't fight and fix this and make sure those people don't get what they're trying to get and to achieve, all our children and grandchildren and those to come will have a terrible, terrible world and America to live in. And we may not even have anything left, because if you look historical, this is how societies fell. They went along this way, and they weren't strong, brave people willing to stand up. And eventually the society would fall. Now, we don't want that. We don't want that, not on our watch. So if people like you, McCullough, Reish, myself, if people are standing up and saying, now hold on, I mean, just look at Fauci on the funding. We know that the NIH gets about $50 billion a year from the United States government. This is taxpayers' money that the NIH gets to allocate to all other research institutions and universities and academics and scientists and hospitals, etc., to conduct research. But Fauci is part of the decision making. How could the person in charge of decision making for your research grants at a university level and as a scientific level, even at CDC, NIH, NIAID, how could he be in that position? There's a clear conflict of interest day one. He should never, ever be in that position. Yet he is, to decide on the research grant. So how could you speak out against this? Listen, when I was in DC, I can't say names out of confidentiality and anonymity, but many people from NIH, very strong, serious scientists, I've spent time talking and reading up with them, CDC even. I find CDC to be a very suboptimal public health agency. I think it's lost its way. No, some of the people I've dealt with, they're smart people, but they've told me, they said, Paul, everything that you're writing or saying is true. We know what's going on here at CDC and the junk science. We know what's going on in the task force with Fauci and they, but we can't say anything because we lose our job. That research grant that I depend on right now for the next 5 years of my salary is gone. So these scientists were silenced across the world, across America, across academia. You think they don't know that early outpatient treatment works? How could antivirals not work? This is a virus, just by the name alone, that you would send people home for 2 weeks to get worse when you have just a basic precept on research and on humanity is, look, you have a medication, person is ill, you're unsure of the benefits, it might have no benefit, as well as it might have some. The benefit might be small, but you know that there's no harms because these are regulatory approved drugs that we use 60, 70 years. It's very cost effective, it's very available, and it's safe. Then just by the precautionary principle alone, you have to use it. You have to try it. Because what else, as Trump would say, do you have to lose? And on that basis, they still did not try it. And that's the fact. So there's something other than science here for people like Fauci to tie the hands of the research community and the doctors, prevent them from using these early treatment drugs. I listened to McCullough and Zelenko. Of the 800,000 people who died in America, 750,000 would be alive today had we used early treatment.
That's right.
That's a catastrophic failure. Somebody is to be held accountable for that. I want sometime in the future, all of the people involved to actually have to answer to what they did. I really want that in a proper forum, because we live in a good governance society. We must always have civility. We must have the most difficult discussions, but discussions we must have, because we need to understand this so that it is not done again. And if people in privileged positions of power made decisions knowingly that it harmed people, particularly with the lockdowns and all of that, then I want you held accountable. I want you sitting in a courtroom, in a proper forum. You have the right to explain everything. Everybody can examine it legally. No kangaroo, nothing. No violence. No. We are decent. This is United States. But if you did wrong, I want you accountable. You know why? Because Dr. Bregan, as we know, many business owners, many of the employees in those companies, in those stores, many of our little children, 6, 7, 8 years old, they couldn't hold on. And they committed suicide. These lockdowns and school closures killed people.
Yes.
Killed them. So somebody have to be held to account. This should not be a mea culpa one day and people like Fauci and they, whomever. ride off into the sunset with a golden parachute pension. No, if you really did wrong, I don't care your status in life. I want you held accountable. Period.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement. I want to help people focus down on why this particular scenario is going on. 10 years ago,
yes,
with the establishment of the decade of the vaccine, that was immediately Bill Gates's idea, with Fauci was there and Klaus Schwab was there, and they immediately went to the UN and the World Health Organization. From the beginning, the idea has been twofold, at least, to make billions and billions of dollars and into the coffers of the UN, of WHO, of Bill Gates, of his organizations, and into also the Chinese communists. They're billionaires, by the way. They went up 50%. If you take all 400 billionaires on average, they went up 50% in wealth in 1 year, and that's all communists. And that was one of the major goals, to do vaccines in a way that would make the wealth of the world get sucked up from the poor people, the middle class, even the upper class, into the billionaire class and into the government agencies and into communist China. But then there was another goal, which was to impose top-down government, which was a big part of Fauci's plans and Bill Gates's plans from the beginning. And Fauci has written in the same vein. And of course, the UN, the World Health Organization, they've all got documents and votes for more top-down government. They can then be influenced by these big industries and by the Marxists, frankly. So all of this, but it could not have gone fully into operation if they allowed for the existence of a safe and effective treatment. Because when it came to the legislation, the emergency use authorization legislation that allowed both the paying off of particularly Pfizer and Moderna, paying them off all their expenses, then buying up all of their drugs in advance of their even being pushed through, and then pushing them through the FDA without an actual approval process, without actually studying their harms, potential harms. In order to do that, under the law, the federal law of this act of the emergency use authorization, they could not have an alternative medication approach. So as soon as people began to talk about hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, they had to stop it. Well, the entire purpose of pushing COVID-19 and the vaccines would be destroyed. They wouldn't be able to make their billions. They wouldn't gain all their power over the Western democracies. They wouldn't fulfill the ambitions of communist China. The whole thing would collapse. So they had to, and still have to, threaten doctors and take away doctors' licenses and humiliate people and throw them out of their jobs and their universities if they support alternative treatments. Because once there's an effective alternative treatment, and it's very, these treatments are very well demonstrated, including with clinical trials, placebo-controlled clinical trials, demonstrated to be effective, and in large studies by McCullough, and you've been involved in one of the large studies as a key person, these studies have shown that these drugs work. Well, they could not allow it, or their whole scheme under the law would have collapsed. That's got to be said again and again, because it doesn't come up enough. But let me go back to you now, sir. I want you to have some more time. We have 8 minutes, Paul Alexander, Dr. Yeah. Alexander.
Yes. So look, this is, I mean, we have 2 years now under our belt, roughly, almost 2 years. And you know, Dr. Bergen, I could stand back now and say, from the beginning, I was saying I was pilloried and smeared and slandered by the media in Washington, media in Canada, along with other people that I worked with and I had dealings with, like Dr. Scott Atlas, those people in the Great Barrington Declaration, pulled off Bhattacharya, Gupta, and again out of Oxford and so on. Look, we had an approach then, and it is still our mindset, period. It has not changed. In fact, more solid. Which was? This was a virus coming into the society. I argued it wasn't even a novel coronavirus, because we had, as a coronavirus, we knew that you would have some cross-protection, cross-reactivity from other common cold coronaviruses. So it really was not novel. That means that the society would have had some protection to begin with. And we could see that. We saw how the virus moved in the Diamond Princess cruise ship. It stopped at about 19% of the passengers were infected. We saw that in the Shane Crotty lab out of La Jolla, we saw Labert, Grifoni, and these scientists, the different groups, showing a very strong cross-reactive, cross-protective immunity in the blood of people that they've studied. We saw that it was a 2008, 2010. We knew this data. There was a study coming out where some researchers published in SIDRAP looked at the blood of persons who were alive in the Spanish flu in 1918. They were like 5 years old. They were little children and they were exposed. And we had the blood in 2010. We looked at it. What we found in that blood, nearly 100 years after, we found T cell natural immunity, that their blood still provided protection against the Spanish flu. That study showed us the natural immunity is really bulletproof and lifelong, complete. We had this study by Dr. Stephen Pelleck at Vancouver, British Columbia. They did a random sample of the population in a study that they did, and they found 90%. This was last year. 90% of the British Columbians had some level of natural immunity against SARS-CoV-2, and they were not even infected. So this demonstrated that the reaction to this was wrong from the beginning. And what we were saying is, now stop. Strongly protect the vulnerable in society. That's the elderly and the high-risk people in your private house, as well as in nursing home. Protect them. And once you do that, with early treatment that we knew worked, McCullough and Zelenko, and they were out of the gate, Pierre Corian there already, showing that early treatment was working, Vliet, yourself, we had that evidence. So you make that available to the high-risk people in the nursing home. Should your grandmother get infected and have preliminary symptoms, you give it to her. She will clear the virus and she'll be naturally immune after that, bulletproof. And you will reduce the risk of hospitalization and death. We knew from the data that once granny touched the emergency room door, her 28-day mortality skyrocketed to 38%. Probably would not leave that hospital. So we knew the key with early treatment is to keep them out of the hospital.
Yeah.
And all we were saying was, protect the elderly properly, use the early treatment, but allow the rest of society, the infants, the children, the young, the teenagers, the well, who have potent innate immune systems and natural immunity, allow them to live normal, unfettered, reasonable, normal lives with sensible precautions, and let them handle this virus naturally and harmlessly. Do not lock the society down. Do not close schools, because we will impose crushing harms on the society. And we've seen that. Listen, Dr. Bregan, we had reports of parents going to the emergency room, mothers and fathers together with their child in their arms, limp, unresponsive, telling the doctors, we think we might have killed the child because we've beaten the child unconsciously. We've been not working for a year. We have no income, and we're fighting each other now. We beat the child. That's what Trump was seeing and he was hearing. And that is why he was fighting to open the society and get schools open. And that's why he was arguing with the unions and the CDC with their unholy alliance. And that is why these lockdowns are Fauci and Burke's making. and the debts that accumulated is on their hands. And this is why today we are saying that President Trump, at that point, he should have fired them. Now, yeah, that's the back. That's history now. We know what went wrong, but these lockdowns really harm people, and we must never go back there. We must never close schools on children. The school is the safest place for a child. The safest place for a child. Many American children get their only meal, their only one meal in the school setting. Many people don't know this.
These they also get some of their only attention and love and discipline and, yes, and learning in the school.
Yes. The school, yeah, believe it or not.
Oh, wait, we're getting very close to the end. So yes. I want to say a couple of things that will help people in the new year.
Yes.
First of all, there are good treatments available.
Yes.
And one of the ways you can get them are by going to truthforhealth.org. And I want to make sure I got that right. Pardon me for leaning over. Truthforhealth.org, very unprofessional. And that is Dr. Lee Valit, MD, her website, and she, along with her medical expert, Peter McCullough, who's the great, great scientist of our time in these issues, have written a book on early treatment and early prevention. So by going to truthforhealth.org, you can get early treatment, early prevention instructions. You can find doctors that you can email and get in touch with them. And if you have a sick relative, and one of my relatives did this, you get in touch with them and overnight they'll find a way to get you treatments. They can send them from other places and get you treatments. My relative, she and her partner got very sick with COVID and they both had comorbidities. And they both started getting well after the first day of treatment. And that, I thought, was unbelievable. But I was told this again, it happens that way, and it does. So that's one of the most important things that you can do. And you could also go to Zev Zelenko's website, and you'll see that he makes available there not a treatment, but some therapeutics that are useful. Okay, we're done. Paul Alexander, bless you. Goodbye, folks. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.